We turn again to John 21, and again to that verse that we chose as our text last week, the verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. You recall last Lord's Day evening, we looked at the Lord's care for Peter. How Peter and the other six disciples had returned to fishing. And the Lord Jesus appeared there where they were fishing, which was the Sea of Tiberias or the Sea of Galilee. We pointed out that Galilee means a circle. These disciples very evidently had their lives had gone a complete circle, because it was there at Galilee the Lord had called them to follow him. And here we have the Lord going back to that place where the disciples were, an indication that the Lord cared about them. Why didn't he just leave them there? No, he cared. He cared. That's why he went there. We noted, first of all, the Lord and his interest. He had an interest in Peter and the other disciples. He didn't want to leave them with their failure. He didn't want to leave them, leave Peter particularly in his failure. That would have been an awful way to live, living with such a failure, denying the Lord. He didn't want to leave him with his fishing, because the Lord had called them to be fishers of men, not to be fishing for fish. And he wanted to give Peter a second chance and raise him up that he might be again a fisher of men. That indicated the Lord's interest. We noted also the Lord and his inquiry. And the Lord said to those disciples, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. We noted the relationship when the Lord addressed those disciples as children, speaking of a relationship. And after all they had done, and after all that Peter had done, and all that Peter had said, the Lord still looked upon them as children. The fellowship had been marred, the fellowship had been broken, but the relationship was not broken and never would be. When the Lord saves his people, they are his forever. No matter what happens, no matter what happens, they're saved by the blood of Christ, and the blood will keep them and Christ will keep them. And the relationship will remain the same. There was the relationship and there was the request. Children, have ye any meat? And we pointed out those words really mean, children, have ye anything to eat? And they answered, no. They had nothing to eat themselves, and they had nothing to set before the Lord. They were in many ways like that barren fig tree. When the Lord was hungered and he came to the fig tree, and he found nothing thereon. The word nothing there that's used in Matthew 21 described the fig tree. The word nothing means not even one. And here the disciples did not even have one morsel of bread to give to the Lord. There they were, empty-handed. And when we meet the Lord and where he meets us, will we have anything to set before him? Will we have done anything or accomplished anything in his name during the years that we have lived? We noted also the Lord and his invitation. The invitation to those disciples and to Peter included was, come and dine. The Lord had provided and prepared the fire. The Lord had provided the fish and the Lord had presented the food. And it was there at that breakfast, come and dine. Where dine means to break fast. It was at that breakfast meal that Peter was given a second chance. That's where we come to tonight. Last week we looked at the Lord's care about Peter. And here we have this evening the Lord challenged Peter. We continue to see from verse 15 how the Lord, with great grace and understanding, dealt with Peter. I wonder if Peter or someone dealt with us the way Peter dealt with Christ. How would we respond? How would we treat that person? We see how the Lord treated Peter. Because particular notice is taken of the fact, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Peter. Those words are very significant in verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter. In other words, before the Lord challenged Peter, he let them finish their meal. Then the Lord challenged Peter. Here we have, first of all, the attitude of Christ. The Savior did not challenge Peter the moment he invited him to come and dine. No, he provided the food, and there was the fire. And then it says, and when they had dined, it was then, after they had dined, that the Lord then challenged Simon Peter. There's the attitude of Christ. It is interesting, and you recall when we looked at Elijah and how the Lord gave Elijah a second chance. Remember how Elijah ran away and settled there in the wilderness under a juniper tree and wished he could die. You recall how the angel of the Lord came to Elijah. And where he found him. And there in First Kings in chapter 19. In verse 5. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. So Elijah wasn't challenged while he was eating and drinking, but rather he lay down again, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat. And it was after he had eaten, after he had dined. We read in the verse 9, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? I want us to notice how the Lord dealt with Elijah and how the Lord dealt here with Peter. This simply highlights for us a most lovely virtue that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have Peter, and he's face to face with the one whom he had denied, with oaths and curses. And the Lord did not immediately challenge Peter once he came and sat with Christ. He waited until he had dined. The Lord was patient with Peter. And I see here this gentle attitude of Christ. This lovely virtue of gentleness. The Lord could easily have rebuked Peter the moment he saw him. But he didn't. He said, come and dine. And then after he had eaten, then he spoke to Peter. There's the gentleness of Christ. So we see how with great gentleness the Lord dealt with Peter. Gentleness was something which Paul saw in Christ. Because in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 1, Paul said, now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. By the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Meekness and gentleness. How those words personify the life of the Lord Jesus. And when we think of gentleness, do we not think of the words written by Charles Wesley? They may be looked upon as a child's hymn, a hymn for children, but oh my, we can apply them to ourselves. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Look upon a little child, pity my simplicity, suffer me to come to thee. How much of this meekness and gentleness do we see in people today? How much of this meekness and gentleness do we see among God's people today? Yet such Christ-like virtues ought to be found in us. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Paul has exhorted us with these words, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing meekness unto all men. Titus 3 and verse 2. Listen to those words again. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, like Christ, gentle. Christ was gentle with Peter, but gentle, showing meekness. There's those two beautiful virtues again together, gentleness and meekness. That's what Paul says we are to be. We're to be like Christ with gentleness and meekness. This is in keeping with the words of the other verses in Charles Wesley's hymn. Listen to them. Lamb of God, I look to thee. Thou shalt my example be. Thou art gentle, meek, and mild. Thou wast once a little child. Fain I would be as thou art. Fain I would be as thou art. Give me thine obedient heart. Thou art pitiful and kind. Let me have thy loving mind. Would we not say amen to those words? Fain I would be as thou art. Give me thine obedient heart. Thou art pitiful and kind. Let me have thy loving mind. And we see it there in the Saviour's dealings with Peter. He waited until after they had dined. Then he spoke. That's the attitude of Christ. But we not want that attitude too. Gentle, Jesus, meek and mild. As well as the attitude of Christ, we have the appeal from Christ. Did not the flickering flame of the fire that burned that day, that morning, by the waters of Galilee, not make Peter feel somewhat uneasy and uncomfortable? Because that fire, I have no doubt, would have brought to Peter's mind the fire that burned in the courtyard of the high priest at which he had stood, warming himself and denying the Lord. Denying that he ever knew him, and as we pointed out in the past, he couldn't even bring himself to mention the Savior's name. Whenever he was challenged, "Thou wast with Jesus of Nazareth," Peter said, "I know him not." Him. Couldn't even say Jesus of Nazareth. And then he was challenged again, "Thou wast with Jesus of Galilee." And Peter gave the same response, "I know him not." In other words, Peter, in his denial of the Savior, sought to put as much distance between himself and Christ. "I know him not." Couldn't even mention his name. And now Peter sits at that fire. And the warmth of that fire would have brought back memories of him sitting at that fire in the courtyard. Where he denied his Lord and went out as a result and wept bitterly. The very one who had kindled the fire by the Sea of Galilee was the one who said, "Come and dine." Notice his gentleness again. Notice the meekness of Christ again. No doubt Peter wondered what the Lord was going to say to him. He probably did not expect to hear the words that he did hear. He probably did not expect to hear the words that came from the lips of the Savior by that fire, by the Sea of Galilee. And the Lord said, "Simon." He could have said, "Simon, why did ye desert me?" He could have said, "Simon, why did you deny me?" He could have said, "Simon, why did you disown me?" Instead, he said, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Regarding this appeal, you'll notice it was a simple appeal. The Lord didn't say, "Fearest thou me, Simon? Nor honorest thou me, Simon? Nor admirest thou me, Simon?" No. He put it to him simply. "Lovest thou me, Peter?" Peter, do you love me? In light of what thou did that night, when you denied me, Peter, can you say now that you love me? After all, it is what is expected of a disciple of the Lord, is it not? It is what is expected. Disciple of the Lord loves the Lord. If we are his followers, if we are his disciples, if we are his children, then we are to love the Lord. The Lord Jesus himself said in John 8 and verse 42, if God were your Father, ye would love me. If God were your Father, then you will love me. And he's speaking to those who were saved, those who were Christians, because God is our Father, is he not? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God is our Father. And if God is our Father, then we're to love Christ. We are to love him. Turn to John 14. The Lord deals with the same matter. In John 14, and there we read in verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Now you have heart-searching words, do we not? He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. If we love the Lord, we'll want to please him. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. See? It is expected that the Christian, that the disciple of the Lord, will do and keep the Lord's word and keep his commandments. It is a test of our love for Christ. We deduce from the words of the Savior, if we do not keep the Lord's commandments, then we don't love him. If we love him, we will keep his commandments. But Peter's denial of his master cast a dark shadow over that love. How deep was his love? How genuine was his love? What Peter had done, you see now why the Lord said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Do you really love me? After what he had done. Likewise, when we as disciples of the Lord behave and conduct ourselves in a way that is contrary to his word, then the Lord has every right to ask us, do you love me? He has every right to ask us a very simple question. If we behave and act contrary to his word, the Lord has every right to ask us that simple question, lovest thou me? Do you love me? Because true love for Christ will lead us to what? Will lead us to want to please him. That's why I chose that hymn tonight prior to bringing the word, "My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine." You know, sometimes we can say those words, sing those words, and not really mean them. "My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou, if ever I love thee. My Jesus, 'tis now." After all, how much we love the Lord will determine how faithfully we will live for Him. Simple. As well as a simple appeal, we have here also a sweeping appeal. The Lord challenged Peter three times. You'll notice that when He challenged him the first time, it was different to the remaining two times. It was a sweeping appeal because look at verse 15. "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" If you look at verse 16, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He didn't add the other three words, "more than these." You go down to verse 17, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He didn't include those words, "more than these." What was the Lord speaking about when He said, first of all, when He first challenged Simon, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" The answer is simple. You recall when the Lord had warned Peter and said, "Simon, Satan hath desired you, Satan has demanded you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee." And you recall how Peter said, "Lord, I'll never forsake thee, though all men forsake thee." Well, that included his fellow disciples sitting beside him. And Peter was really saying, though these men beside me here forsake thee, Lord, I will never forsake thee. I will never, never. That's what the Lord was talking about here. Peter, when he said, "I will never forsake thee, Lord, Lord, all men be offended, not I." He was speaking about his fellow disciples. And here we have in this sweeping appeal of Christ, the Lord was including those disciples when he said, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" It was a little test for Simon to see if he had learned his lesson. Was Simon then going to say, "Yea, Lord, I love thee more than these. I love thee more than John. I love thee more than Andrew. I love thee more than Thomas." No, he didn't say that. But that's what the Lord meant. Would Peter once again boast, as he had done before, or had he learned his lesson? I think of the words of Solomon in Proverbs 11 and verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. When pride cometh, that's exactly what happened with Peter. When he said he would never deny the Lord, he'd never be offended of the Lord. That was pride. Though all men forsake thee, not I. That was pride. Though others be ashamed of thee, not I. That was pride. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. And boy, did shame come upon Peter that night when he went out and wept bitterly. And what shame Peter experienced, all because of pride. Had he learned his lesson? Had he learned from his mistake? We have seen the attitude of Christ and the appeal from Christ. And then we have Peter's answer to Christ. It is interesting to note just how Peter answered this appeal, which was put to him three times. Just as he had denied the Lord three times, he was called upon to declare publicly his love for the Lord three times. And when you look at his answer, notice first of all, he was gracious in his answer. The Lord challenged Peter with the words, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? But Peter was gracious in his reply. Look at his reply, verse 15. He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And left it there. He didn't say, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee more than these. Praise the Lord. Peter had learned his lesson. He didn't think himself better than somebody else. He didn't think himself better than the other disciples. He didn't think of himself as loving the Lord more than his fellow disciples. He just simply said, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee, and left it there. He had learned his lesson. He was gracious. There was no boasting now. There was no forwardness with Peter now. There was no promoting of self now. There was no pride. Just a simple, gracious answer. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And left it there. He didn't try to compare his love for Christ with that of the other disciples. He did exactly what Paul has exhorted all Christians to do. Colossians 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Let your speech be always with grace. Always with grace. Seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Peter knew how to answer the Lord. He learned his lesson. He knew how to answer the Lord. He did so with grace. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He was not only gracious, he was genuine. When Peter answered, saying, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee," he was genuine. What Peter said was real. He meant it. How do I know he meant it? How do I know Peter was genuine when he said, "I love thee"? Because he answered the Lord and he said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." You see, Peter was aware that the Lord knew and would know whether or not his love for him was genuine or not. Because Peter said, "Lord, thou knowest." Peter knew that he couldn't, as it were, we can use the term, he couldn't bluff the Savior. He knew he couldn't deceive the Savior. Because he said, "Thou knowest." As if Peter was saying, "Lord, thou knowest my heart. Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Thou knowest." Acknowledging that the Lord knew his heart and how much he loved him. And Peter just left it there. "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." The Lord knew the heart of Peter. The Lord knew that love that was in his heart. So Peter says, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest." The Lord knows the hearts of us all. Revelation 2, verse 24. I am he that searcheth the reins and the hearts. It should be noted that when the Lord asked Peter, "Lovest thou me?" in verses 15 and 16, the Lord used the general word for love, just the general word. It's the word, the Greek word agapeo. It is the general word for love. But in Peter's answer, Peter used a different word. When the Lord said, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter then answered and said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love." There's a different word for love. In fact, Peter used a stronger word for love. It's the Greek word phileo. Christ used the word agapeo. Peter used the word phileo, which is a stronger word. It means the love of a friend. It means the love of a friend. It means to love a friend deeply. That's the word Peter used. So whenever Peter responded to the Lord's word, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter replied, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee deeply." That's what he said. "I love thee deeply. I love thee as my friend. I love thee as my friend." You know something? It was the kind of love that only the Lord could put in Peter's heart. Because it's the same word. This word, to love deeply and to love a friend deeply, it's the same word that Mary and Martha used when they sent a message to the Lord. Remember what they said? He whom thou lovest is sick. That's the same word. It's the love of Christ for Lazarus. And that's the word that Peter used. It was a love that Christ had put in his heart. And only Christ can put such a love in the heart of a Christian. To love deeply. Peter was saying, "Dear Lord, I'm deeply in love with thee." And when he said, "Thou knowest," Peter was saying, "Lord, thou knowest how deeply I love thee." The Lord loved Lazarus. As the Lord had said, our friend Lazarus. He loved him as a friend. Peter loved Christ as his dearest friend. Is that what he is to us? Can we say tonight, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee deeply. I am deeply in love with thee." Peter could easily have quoted the words of the bride in the Song of Solomon. Peter could have said, "This is my beloved, and this is my friend. And this friend of mine, I love him deeply." He was not only gracious and genuine, but we notice then he was grieved. Being asked the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved, verse 17, because he had said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" The Lord had challenged Peter three times about his love. Well, after all, he had denied the Lord three times. Why should the Lord not ask him three times, "Lovest thou me?" And then after the third time, Peter was grieved. The word grieved, no, it doesn't mean he was angry. That's not what it means. We may use that word today to indicate that someone is angry. No, we can put that out of our minds. Peter wasn't angry. Because the word grieved means to be sorrowful. So he wasn't angry. He was sorrowful. And Peter was sorry. Peter was sorry that he had to be asked a third time, "Lovest thou me?" Had Peter been faithful to the Lord, then the Lord would not have needed to ask him, "Lovest thou me?" He was sorry that the Lord had to ask him. That's what he was sorry about. He was sorry the Lord had to ask him because of his own failure. Because he had denied the Lord. That the Lord then had to ask. And that's what Peter was sorry. He was sorry that there was a question mark over his love. Because of the way he had behaved. But then when he deliberately denied his Lord three times, he must be asked, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" See, when we live for Christ, when we're a faithful servant of his, there'll be no question mark. about our love for Christ? Will not need to be asked when we live for the Lord. You've met individuals, I'm sure, as I have, who are out and out for the Lord. And there's never any doubt, there's never a question about whether or not that brother or that sister loves the Lord. Their whole life tells for Christ. What they do and how they live for the Lord shows that they love Him. That they love Him. And love Him deeply. We have looked at how the Lord cared about Peter, how the Lord challenged Peter. Now we come and see how the Lord commissioned Peter. Here is a miracle of grace, without a doubt. That after all that Peter had done in denying his Savior, the Lord was prepared to give Peter a second chance. Peter had mourned over what he had done. He had mourned over his sin when he went out that night and wept bitterly. You remember what the Lord said in the Beatitudes? Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Matthew 5 and verse 4. Well, for Peter, blessing came from his mourning, and he also was comforted. He was comforted to know that the Lord had not finished with him. That the Lord was ready to give him work. That the Lord was ready to give him a second chance. In this study of Peter, my heart in many ways in the study of it has gone out to Peter. How he failed the Lord and felt so sorry for him. But at the same time, I have been struck by the grace and the gentleness and the love of Jesus Christ. Something that you don't see in the world today. Because here is Peter, and the Lord's going to give him another chance. Even though what Peter had done had affected Christ directly and personally. Here we see, first of all, the Lord's willingness. Notice just how willing the Savior was to give Peter a second chance. Because each time Peter said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee," the Savior said, and he said it immediately, "Feed my lambs," verse 15. "Feed my sheep," verse 16. "Feed my sheep," verse 17. You notice? When Peter said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee," the Savior did not hesitate one. He did not hesitate. He didn't even pause to think it over. Peter said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. I love thee deeply." Christ said, "Feed my sheep," immediately. That surely sets before us the willingness of the Lord. He willingly gave Peter this second chance. And he didn't harbor any animosity or any grudge against Peter. But immediately opened the door of service for his fallen and now restored disciple. It is interesting that Peter was the very disciple, who had asked the Lord one day, "Listen, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? To 7 times? We know what the Lord said. Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times. Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22. And that's the forgiveness that Peter experienced, as seen in the fact that the Lord immediately gave Peter this task: feed my sheep. Held nothing against them. He didn't harbor anything against Peter. You know, well, it's the back of the mind. No, it wasn't there. Isaiah 38, verse 17. Peter could easily have said, quoted the words of the prophet, "Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." That was it. That morning at the Sea of Galilee, as the Savior sat with those disciples and sat with Peter and challenged Peter, and Peter answered, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee deeply." And the Lord said, "Feed my sheep." Peter knew all that he had done in denying his Savior. Christ had already put it behind him. Christ, as it were, had already forgotten it. Boy, isn't that good? Never to be remembered against Peter anymore. We never read of the Lord bringing it up to Peter again. It's done. Finished with. Buried. Cast behind the Savior's back. Peter's fall and Peter's failing was now in the past. And the Lord had a work for Peter to do. Give him a second chance. Quickly, the Lord's willingness and the Lord's work. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Notice that they were the Lord's sheep and they were the Lord's lambs. And what does the feeding mean? It refers to Peter teaching God's people. That's what the Lord wants a shepherd to do. That's what the Lord had restored Peter to, that position, to be a shepherd of the sheep, to feed them. The minister of the gospel is a shepherd of the flock, and he's to feed his sheep with teaching from the word. And Peter not only taught God's people during his earthly ministry, but sure, we have 2 epistles from Peter, and he's still teaching, and he's still feeding the sheep. He's still feeding the lambs through his epistles. Think of it again. Peter having fallen so low, now he's lifted so high that he's feeding the flock of God. And then you have the Lord's way. The Lord's willingness, the Lord's work, and the Lord's way. What was the Lord's way? Verse 19. This spake he, signifying of what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." At the end of verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that ye tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Just what the Lord had said to Simon and the other disciples at the Sea of Galilee way back in Matthew 4:19. Follow me. and I will make you fishers of men. There the Lord had got Peter back on the rails again. He's been restored. He's been given a second chance. I trust we have learned much about the Saviour and about Peter, and we have learned much from the Saviour and from Peter in this, as it were, little series within a series. Christ lifted up the fallen. Christ gave Peter a second chance. Praise the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. O Lord our God, we bless thee for the word. We thank thee for the Saviour. Confess, Lord, we're so unlike him. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon this little child. For that's what we are, Lord. We're just little children that tend to go astray, that tend to fall, tend to stumble. But we thank thee for thy gentleness and thy meekness. And O Lord, make us more like thee. More like thee. More like the Saviour. Lord, I pray thy good hand will rest upon us as we leave the Lord's house. As we make our way home, O Lord, take everyone home in safety. And bless every home and bless every family here. Lord, I love my congregation. And I pray only thy blessing upon them. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be your abiding portion now, forevermore. Amen.